You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
After months of protests, most of the camps at the Dakota Access Oil Pipeline have been shut down by local authorities following President Trump's approval of the pipeline's construction near the Standing Rock Sioux Reservation. Protests continue elsewhere as people act to stop the construction of more pipelines and fight to shut down the ones that already exist. Last October 11th, five environmental activists took direct action by turning off emergency valves to major U.S. pipelines that temporarily halted the flow of carbon-intensive oil sands from Canada to the United States. Joining us now is one of those activists, Ken Ward, who is facing serious criminal charges. And also with us is Steve Lipte, a documentary filmmaker who recorded the valve turning and also faces criminal charges. Welcome to our show.
Yeah, thank you.
Ken, what happened on October 11th? Ken, are you there? Hi, Ken.
Good morning.
It's morning where you are in Oregon, yeah?
Yes, we're in the middle of a snowstorm here in Corbett, Oregon, yeah.
So what happened on October 11th? Where were you?
I was in Burlington, Washington. This is in Skagit County. I was on the Trans Mountain Pipeline, and I cut a lock and went into a chain-linked area and cut another lock on what's called an emergency block valve. And after calling into the pipeline company to tell them what we were going to do, we closed down the pipeline by turning a block valve.
So you had told the company that you were trespassing on their property and you were about to do what would be considered an illegal act.
Absolutely. We wanted to give them full warning of what we were going to do, and then after having done that, we waited around for arrest.
Now, were other people doing this in other pipelines around the country?
Yes, we had a group of five of us, so in four locations. We were at block valves for each of five pipelines, which carry all of the tar sands oil that comes from Canada into the U.S. And at about half-an-hour intervals, those block valves were shut down. There were also people who were there in support, and there were also independent documentarians like Steve, who's in the studio there, who were videoing the actions.
How did you know what valves to turn and which way to turn them?
Well, we did some research. Others have done actions like this in Canada, and we were able to watch YouTube videos of other people doing it. And also that information is available online because these are valves that are available for emergency workers to use in the event of any problem with the pipeline. So it's not that hard.
Steve, how did you come in contact with the shutdown project, the shut-it-down project?
Yeah, the organizers contacted us so that we could, you know, arrive and meet the valve turners.
But why you in particular?
Well, I've been doing, I've been documenting the climate movement now for a number of years, and so I was connected with Ken, and Ken contacted us, and we met up just strictly to document the action.
Ken, had you done other things with your fellow activists, Emily Johnson, Ned Klapstein, Michael Foster, and Leonard Hickens?
Yes, most of us were involved in what's called the Break Free Action in May of last year at the Anacortes refineries, where we blockaded, camped out on the railway tracks for a weekend in an effort to call for a shutdown of that refinery. That happens to be the same refineries that the Trans Mountain Line I closed also service. But we came to know each other there, and I was just in court a couple of weeks ago to face a minor charge stemming from that action.
Steve, in the short film that you made about Annette Klapstein and Emily Johnson shutting the valves for Line 4 and Line 67 in Leonard, Minnesota, at the Enbridge line, you show another activist, Jay O'Hara, calling representatives of the pipeline companies, informing them about what was to happen. So that was the plan in all of the shutdowns?
Yeah.
Did it have to call Well, the pipeline companies?
Well, they wanted the activists wanted the pipelines shut down in a safe manner. So the companies were notified prior to the activists arriving on the site. And then in some of the cases, they shut down the pipelines remotely. In other cases, like Michael Foster, for example, he had to manually shut down the pipeline, the Keystone Pipeline in North Dakota.
Is it dangerous to shut the emergency valve?
Well, they have emergency shutoff valves for a reason. And, you know, we're in the middle of a climate change emergency. So, you know, that's the bigger threat than shutting down these pipelines.
Ken, how soon after you shut down the valve at Skagit County, Washington, did law enforcement show up?
It was pretty quick, about maybe 15 minutes. I was very, very close to Mount Vernon, where the deputy's offices are. Some of the other locations, Leonard Higgins, who's in Montana, I think waited about a half an hour for law enforcement to show up. So it was varied depending on how close we were to the sheriff's stations.
So that was part of the plan. We do this, and then we get arrested.
Absolutely. I mean, it's an individual choice of each person, but we thought it was important to be able to explain why we did it. We also, many of us, I mean, speaking for myself, I felt like it was important to emphasize that I wasn't trying to escape punishment should that occur. And we also seeking an opportunity to explain in court using a necessity defense why this kind of action is justified given the climate emergency that we're operating in and the lack of any legal avenues available to us to address it.
You had been live streaming the event as well. Who was watching it? Do you know?
I hear from people. In fact, I was just doing a panel yesterday at Oregon Law School, and a couple people came over and said, "Hey, yeah, we were watching you while you were doing it. That was amazing." Yes, we all either had somebody there in support to live stream, or in my case, where I didn't have anybody doing that, I had an iPhone strapped to my body. And that was also a security measure as well. We knew from the experience in Canada that sometimes the pipeline companies don't believe you when you call in, and so we wanted to be able to show them by having a live stream on Facebook that if anybody had said, "Well, I'll prove it," we could have said, "Sure, go to our Facebook page. You can watch me waving at you."
Steve, the valve shutters aren't the only ones facing criminal charges. As I mentioned earlier, you're also been charged with what? Trespass?
I have, two gross misdemeanors. One is trespass, but the second one is aiding and abetting. So,
How were you aiding and abetting?
Yeah, well, I wasn't. I mean, the state of Minnesota's, I have the charges in front of me. I'm being charged with aiding, advising, counseling, conspiring with, or otherwise procuring the other to commit the crime, in this case, Annette Klapstein and Emily Johnston. And I was there simply with a camera in my hand documenting what transpired.
So how can you be charged with that if you weren't actively participating in the valve shutting? I guess that's...
It's a Patriot Act, I guess, holdover. But, yeah, we feel fairly certain that we'll be able to get those charges dismissed.
What about the other journalists? Were they pretty much all charged with aiding and abetting, no matter where the shutdown was taking place?
Well, I have it pretty easy. My colleagues, Dea Schlossberg and Lindsay Grisel and Carl Davis, all were arrested that day. Their footage was confiscated, and each of them spent a night or two in jail, and we're facing decades of jail time, multiple felonies, which have since been dropped.
What about your camera? Didn't they seize your camera?
Well, I wasn't arrested on the day. We had a short exchange with the police, and then we left the site, and then basically I was mailed the charges. They arrived to my home in Brooklyn.
And you mentioned that the charges have been dropped against all the journalists, but... That doesn't mean that everybody is free.
Right. It's a huge hassle.
Do you have to deal with any more? Are you going to be tried for anything else along the way?
I am going to be going to trial, though, in the next month or two, or potentially 3 months. So, yeah, the state of Minnesota is still pursuing the charges against me.
What is the Clearwater County Prosecuting Attorney Richard Mullen told you concerning the charges against you?
Well, I've just had an arraignment at this point, so it's still kind of early in the process. But it's true, I did trespass. My footage and my photographs, you know, show that. So I'm not denying that. But there is some leeway for journalists to enter private property when they are responding to an emergency. So that's what we're going to argue in court.
My guests are Steve Lipte, a filmmaker. A clip of his film is on our show page at wnyc.org/Lopate. Also with us is Ken Ward, one of the people who engage in the Valve closings. And Ken, what charges do you face?
Well, I went to trial 3 weeks ago on two charges, one of burglary and one of sabotage. I was originally charged with four charges, but in the event, we only went to trial on two. And after after being denied an opportunity to offer a necessity defense by an order of the judge, I was allowed to speak a little bit to the climate emergency, and at least some members of the at least one member of the jury responded to that because we got a hung jury. So I am now slated for retrial at the tail end of May 22nd. And all of the others who are facing significant felony charges will have trials sort of spread out over the course of the summer. And I actually wanted to just...
Wait, can I ask you a little more about that trial? Are you going to be retried by the same judge, Michael Rickert, who questions the existence of climate change?
Yes. We are slated to be tried before Judge Rickert. It's not entirely clear what he thinks personally, but he certainly referenced that that it's an open question as to whether climate change or how much of climate change is caused by human activity, and he noted that it's a matter of political controversy.
Haven't you?
We are going.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say we're going to ask him to reconsider his decision on the necessity defense on the basis, in part, of those remarks. Because, among other things, the state of Washington has determined that climate change is caused by human activity and that it is a crisis. So there's a legal precedent for him to reconsider that decision.
Haven't you worked with some of the major environmental and public interest organizations of the past? They don't go so far as to actually take action, like doing things like turning off the valves.
Well, some of the organizations I'm familiar with the station and show because I was the executive director of the New Jersey Public Interest Research Group for 13 years. And certainly the state PIRGs and other organizations I work for do not engage in direct action. But I did work for Greenpeace, which does, and has taken some brilliant actions on direct actions on climate change. But I do think that we're in a situation where it's very difficult to argue that we can make any headway. Certainly, obviously, at the federal level, where we have a climate denier in chief and the fossil fuel industry running the federal government, in essence. So, you know, what's available to us? Well, direct action is one of those options, and also local action, like the recent effort, successful effort in Portland to pass a resolution opposing any new fossil fuel structure.
Steve, are you at all concerned about the implications of being charged for covering this, you and other journalists, in regard to the freedom of the press in the United States?
Well, in this context of Trump right now, it is disconcerting when he views the media as the opposition party and as the enemy when, you know, we see ourselves as providing a really critical public service, and for, you know, we need a free and open press and to have a vibrant democracy, a healthy democracy. So, it is disconcerting. I plan to fight the charges.
Ken, what other citizen action on climate change have we seen in the past? And what do you see for the future of climate activism in the light of what happened at the Dakota Access oil pipeline?
Well, that's the fate around Standing Rock is obviously the largest, most important, and most morally significant action of the last year, and I hope we see more. We have those kinds of fights happening all around the country, opposing new fossil fuel infrastructure, and I hope we see more direct actions along the lines of the one we took.
Steve, your last documentary, Divest, was also about climate change. When did you start covering these issues?
It was in 2011, actually. I was a biologist prior and was on the Gulf Coast during the BP oil spill. And
that got you thinking about filming these things?
Yeah, well, I had to sign non-disclosure agreements and couldn't talk about some of the research I was doing and had, you know, had a background in photography, so I started getting more politically involved at Tim DeChristopher's trial, a climate activist in Utah that disrupted an oil and gas auction at the end of the Bush administration, who works with Ken at the Climate Disobedience Center.
Did you document any of the protests at Standing Rock?
I did get a chance to go to Standing Rock for 4 days this past fall, so I made a short trip out there.
And is that when you met Ken Mort? When did you meet the two of you meet?
Ken and I haven't met in person, actually.
Oh, you never have?
Yeah, no. Just through the
virtual relationship.
Yeah, just through a video chat.
Well, as I said, we have a link to Steve Lipte's short film on our show page at wnyc.org/Lopate. If you don't go to prison, Ken, what are your plans for the future?
Well, I'm doing a lot of speaking tours with the other valve turners, and our website is shutitdown.today if anybody wants to see what we're doing or what our schedule is. We will be doing an East Coast tour probably in May or June, so hopefully people can come out and listen to us in New York.
Do you expect to have to spend some jail time?
I don't know. I mean, I was frankly astonished to get a hung jury, since we did provide video showing exactly what I did. But I also think we're in really unusual times where there are people salted all over the place, including on juries, who understand what is happening and understand that nothing that we're doing right now can possibly touch the problem. And they, given an opportunity, they may well act. So we'll see.
Thank you both so much for talking with us about citizen action on climate change. Ken Ward, one of the activists, and Steve Lipte, who filmed an action. And as I said earlier, there is a link to a clip from Steve Lipte's film on our show page at wmyc.org/Lopate.